You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm Allison Twitter from MLB.com. I'm here for my weekly chat with my friend Steve Gilbert, covers the Diamondbacks and has been in Pittsburgh with the team. And Steve, I was watching the Diamondbacks game, the 15-inning affair with the Pirates, which I know did not end in the Diamondbacks' favor, but wow, I mean, they rallied for 5 runs in the 8th and 9th innings to even send this thing into extra innings, which is not an easy thing to do against the Pirates, who have obviously a great team and a really good bullpen. So what were your observations when you're watching this unfold late in the game?
Well, I think, you know, it does kind of speak to the fact that they do play hard, they do continue to scrap in games. I know it sounds like a cliche, but they do seem to find ways to do that because, you know, they scored 3 runs in those first 2 innings and then were just shut down almost without I think they just threw a walk or two over the next 5 innings. So, I mean, it was like their offense just disappeared and you thought, okay, they're going to go quietly. And then, as you said, they started to come back in the 8th and then the 9th. They were you know, fortunate in the 9th that the Pirates made a couple of crucial errors that helped lead to the tying runs coming around to score. But, and you know, it's just one of those things where they just continue to play hard. They play good defense, which you saw in the bottom of the 9th when Goldschmidt snared that line drive that was headed down the line that likely would have ended the game. And not only did he catch the ball, but then he spun it in the same motion through to second base without seeing anybody at second, but just throwing to the base and being confident that shortstop Chris Owings was going to get there, and Owings just barely got there in time to catch the throw and put a tag on Andrew McCutchen to end the inning. But it was a pretty amazing play, and that kind of set us up for a long night here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, a couple of things really stood out to me there. First of all, Kong, I guess I'm saying his last name right, Kong, he really, like, he threw his helmet and, like, had the little bucket of gum go everywhere after Goldschmidt hit his, or caught the ball, and I thought that was, I don't know, it was a little juvenile to me, just the way it unfolded. Of course, they showed it in slow motion, because so it was a lot more dramatic than maybe it was. But anyway, and the other thing was this umpire review, the manager's challenge, so they're trying to look at this play at second base, and did he get McCutchen? And every angle that they showed really wasn't the proper angle, because it needed to be on the other side, which, of course, there's not a camera angle from the other side. So were you a little surprised that that was overturned? Because every replay they showed from the television broadcast I was watching did not definitively really show that they got him.
Yeah, I guess we took a look later, and they had sent the actual the clip that they actually looked at in New York, and they had zoomed in from one of the angles to where you could just see the tag getting him. So I guess that's one of the things to always keep in mind, and sometimes, you know, I always forget this, is that they have different angles than we see on TV, and they have different capabilities than, you know, than what we're seeing here on the scoreboard or even on the TV broadcast, to kind of zoom in or sync things up or slow things down even to a greater degree. So, but I was surprised that, given the angles that we had, that they were able to overturn that as opposed to letting the call stand on the field. But it was amazing. And you talked to Goldschmidt about it afterwards, and, you know, it's the same thing with him. He wants to be humble, and so he gives Owings credit for making a great tag, and then says, yeah, I guess you could say it was a good play, but, you know, what if I had thrown it away, or what if it had hit the runner? Maybe it wasn't a smart play on my part. I guess it just happened to work out. So that's typical Paul Goldschmidt, not wanting to take a bow even for a gem of a play on the field.
Yeah, I mean, that play was, I mean, I think he probably said there was a little bit of luck involved in just snaring that liner that came down toward him. But, yeah, that was a thing of beauty. I'm assuming we're going to see that on some highlight reels moving forward. And also moving forward, I mean, so you have to ask this question just when you have a game that goes that long and a bullpen that's extended that long, does that affect the team in the next couple of games or anything that they're going to have to do to get some fresh runs in there?
Well, they did. They made a move just recently here, just a little while ago. They demoted Chase Anderson, who's just been on a kind of a bad streak. And they sent him down to AAA, and they recalled Zach Godley, who had tremendous success for them in a starting role. But apparently they're going to just use him out of the bullpen for the next few days until they try to decide who's going to take Anderson's place in the rotation. So, yeah, definitely when you find yourself getting into games like that, and especially the fact that they had to use a bunch of relievers in Atlanta as well before they even got to Pittsburgh, it takes its toll on the staff. So they definitely needed to get some fresh, some more innings into the bullpen, and so that's why Godley's going to be here tonight.
It's kind of a bummer that it happens then. I mean, you only have like a couple of weeks until you can expand the rosters and not have to make any roster moves. You can just have a bunch of extra people up, so it's hard to have to make these decisions now with such little time left to have to maintain a 25-man roster.
Yeah, it's always difficult, and I always admire Dave Stewart had told me that probably one of the things that he didn't fully appreciate about the GM job was the way you have to kind of manage the 40-man roster to make sure you have guys that have options. So when you do get into these kinds of situations, you have the flexibility to send somebody down and bring somebody up without worrying about having to put somebody on waivers or possibly losing somebody off your roster.
So let's talk about rumors and innuendo, because that's always fun. But John Heyman had a report recently that A.J. Pollock, they might be looking at signing him to a long-term deal. He's had a fabulous season. He's arbitration eligible, I believe, for the first time next year. And, of course, the team doesn't say anything about it, and it's a little premature to really go into this seriously. But that's the kind of thing that and I was also looking at the Diamondbacks, just kind of like salary situation coming up for the next couple of years. It looks like they've got some flexibility. Definitely this upcoming offseason financially, correct me if I'm wrong. So this might be a good time to look at that, and he would be sort of a prime target if you're going to buy a guy out of his arbitration eligibility. This probably would make a little bit of sense if it does happen.
Yeah, I think it definitely makes sense. It probably even would have made greater sense this past spring, which they didn't decide to do. But they do have a bunch of money coming off the books. They do have a bunch of position players that are under club control and are very affordable right now. And even Goldschmidt, with the extension that he signed a couple of years ago, is vastly underpaid. I believe it's $3 million this year. So he's tied up and at a really low salary for what he brings to the table. So they do have some flexibility to be able to do that. It was, more just Dave Stewart, I believe, talking out loud to John Heyman, although, we had to ask AJ then about it. And he was less than thrilled with us, I think, the next day, because his teammates ever since have been calling him Mr. Extension. So they don't miss a beat there in the clubhouse, and so they picked right up on that, and so his new nickname has become Mr. Extension. So I think he was a little less than thrilled about being asked about it, but he was a good sport about it.
Yeah, this is interesting. Now you bring up Paul Goldschmidt. Let's talk about this. So, yeah, 3.1 this year, 5.8 next year, 8.8 in 17, and then the big payout is 2018, the last year, at 11. So yeah, that is kind of a team-friendly deal, I guess, because when you get to 2018, of course, who knows, what other kind of commitments they're going to have. But that does make it easier, I guess, during this time when they're trying to transition into being more of a force in the division.
Yeah, I mean, that turns out to be a great decision by Kevin Powers, who was the GM a couple of springs ago when they signed Gold to that extension. And, at that time, it was, he hadn't had the same success that he's had now, obviously, and he hadn't done it for a period of years. So they were taking a risk on that, and he was going for security as opposed to trying to play things out each year in arbitration. So it ended up being, at least right now, it's certainly a club-friendly deal and one that allows them to have the flexibility to have his bat in the lineup and then also have money to spend in other areas.
Very nice. Okay. Steve, thank you very much. Good stuff. We'll talk to you next week.
Allison, always my pleasure. Take care.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.